Psalm 37 this morning. I tried to choose a subject that would be in line with the Bible conference, running the race, but also it's dealing much with faith and dealing much with focus. And we're looking at that this morning in some very key passages in Psalm 37. Let me read the context a little bit. Verse 1, we're going to look especially in verses 3 through 7. Psalm 37, 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don Ron Miller, will you lead us in prayer?
Amen.
Yeah, you definitely feel like you're better fortified in this pulpit. So if you take any shots at me, I'm well protected. Well, this morning, this is a very practical section of Scripture, and actually I use this quite a bit in ministering to people because it's a key passage to show the focus that we need to have as Christians and the faith. Now, the context I can't go into completely for time, but if you read through the chapter, you know the psalmist David. He's going through great persecution. But his eyes are not on the persecution. But his eyes are upward. And similarly to the picture I was reminded of, you've probably seen, it's a famous painting of Daniel. And he's got in the lion's den, and the lions are around him. And he's not looking at the lions, though. He's looking up, and he's in prayer. Well, that's the picture that you have here. And where, now you all have them, right? There's the lions around you. There's a persecution of some sort. There is testing and trial in life. And so there's the upward look. That's what God wants us to have. Regardless of the circumstances, if circumstances are inconsequential when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. In fact, they can work together for good, can't they? Where they constrain you to look up. They constrain you to have the right focus on the Lord. And so God works all things together for good. And he even designs, he orchestrates all the circumstances of life to bring us to that place where we're just occupied with the Lord. Out of necessity, we're to be occupied with the Lord. Now, as he begins here, you notice he says, trust in the Lord. I'll pick it up just in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Now, that's the foundation to everything else. And let me lay that foundation a little bit. And could someone get those doors? Is that open through there? Thank you. We know we're justified by faith, not by the works of the law. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So really, if you don't have faith, saving faith this morning, then what follows you can't really enter into. So that's the most important thing, isn't it? To trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in his finished work on the cross. Then you know you're justified, you're accepted in the Beloved One. And that's complete and that's final. And that ought to be something we're very much persuaded about. So that's the foundation of everything else. And you can't add to it, right? You can't add to what Jesus Christ did. You know, in this phrase here, trust in the Lord and do good. Don't take that as some meritorious way to heaven, because it is by faith, apart from the works of the law, that we're justified. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but by his mercy, he saves us. So I want to make that clear at the outset here. Salvation is of the Lord. That's why it's sure. And so we can just rest in that. It is finished. nothing else to do, right? Just believe, and you're justified from all things. You're accepted. But this emphasis here really is to the believer. This is to the one who has trusted Jesus Christ. And so we know what it is to rely upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. It's a way of life, isn't it? There's a step of faith in salvation, but then we walk by faith and not by sight. And God, again, he constrains us to lean on the Lord. And the circumstances of the psalm here constrain David to lean on the Lord. So that's what God wants you and I to do. In fact, he'll pull out the props. He'll bring us to that place where he's the one that we're trusting in, like in Psalm 62, where David says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be greatly moved." So it's a singular focus here. Trust in the Lord. And now let's compare some psalms. Maybe for time I'm going to quote, because I want to get through all these verses. And Psalm 2:12, there's a special blessing, isn't there? "Blessed is the man who trusts in thee." Psalm 84, you have it also. Psalm 125, 1, "Those that trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion, they shall not be moved." There's a stability in faith, isn't there? Because God is, he's immutable. And so you're trusting in the Lord, he's your strength. He's your source of stability. Faith is that Godward movement of the heart, isn't it? In fact, this whole section here, trust, delight, commit, rest, it's all a Godward movement of the heart, where you're not looking at yourself, you're not looking at circumstances, but you're looking to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You're looking away from self. You're looking to his sufficiency. And, you know, faith is not, as I heard one young man say one time, "Well, it's hard to maintain the emotion of faith." No, and he wasn't a believer. That isn't it. Faith, the key to faith is the object of faith. You trust God because he's trustworthy. In, I believe it's Mark 11:22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." And as one rendered that, "Hold fast that God is faithful." That's the issue. So if we're focused upon God, we realize, well, he's not going to break his promise. He doesn't change. He's faithful. Then we naturally rely upon him. So trust in the Lord. Let's look later in the Psalm, verse 39. He says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." Now, you know, David, in the great trials that he went through, he learned what it was to look unto God, even in the battle. He looked unto the Lord in faith. Well, you and I are in the battle, and there's a storm that may be raging without. Doesn't make any difference. God's always the same. He's on the throne. Trust in the Lord. That ought to be our focus. Psalm 84, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." Goes on to say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in thee." There's a connection there. So a person's just about as strong spiritually as they are trusting in the Lord. And it's a growth thing, isn't it? We grow in this. We grow, as Paul put it, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith." There's an establishment, isn't there, where you, through the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, you're becoming more convicted, you're becoming more persuaded. Yes, God's not going to let me down. I can trust him for all things. So trust in the Lord. Now, going on, "And do good." Kylan Dielich, Hebrew scholars render this, "and cultivate faithfulness." Now, there's a connection. If a person has faith, you're going to know it because they're faithful. And now again, look a little later in the psalm, verse 27. He says, "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore." Verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Now, a Christian, of course, we know we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, and it's not of works. However, the faith that saves works, doesn't it? The faith that saves wants to please God. Paul said, "I make it my aim, whether present or absent, that I might be well-pleasing to him." And so it's a goal in life, isn't it? We want to do his will. It's the bottom line. And we heard much about that yesterday. You want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And so there's a diligent care here to do God's will, to serve Him. And again, that's the outflow of trust. So trusting doesn't necessarily mean that you're inactive. There is a being still and knowing that He is God. But then there are certain things that He has specified that are His will, right? That we're to be diligent to bring to pass. And I almost hate to say you do your part, because actually it's God who's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But we cooperate, don't we? In fact, there's a faith and there's a yieldedness in this. And where, some will say, well, the Christian life, this may come from an unbeliever, I don't know that I could actually live the Christian life. I don't know that I could follow through with that. Well, the follow through is of God, just like the salvation is of God. Sanctification is of the Lord, just like salvation is of the Lord. So this doing good, you and I have no capacity to do good. In my flesh dwells no good thing, Paul said. But God is in us. We're partakers of the divine nature. And therefore we have tremendous capacity, as we've been studying in 2 Peter. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control temperance, and to temperance brotherly love. And in other words, grow and in the doing of His will and in Christian character. But God will bring it about as we're trusting Him. So faith, that's the foundation. And then there's the outflow. Do good. Now, again, if I could consider the context. You know, when the storm is raging, the storm did kind of rage for us this past week. We're trying to get in this building. I'm going to use some illustrations from that. And this particular psalm I was studying, very applicable, especially the part we'll get to, commit thy way unto the Lord. Hand it over. But then, you know, there's another aspect of it. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing God's will. God will bring it about according to His will. Don't fail to do what He's supposed to do. And it makes me think of, if you've ever seen documentaries on D-Day, you know, the men that went in, these guys are going into their death, most likely. But a soldier goes in, right? And they did. You know, the bullets are flying. And 30,000 killed, I think, in something like a day. But they went in, didn't they? And, a Christian, you're just to do His will. It's a bottom line. And now, there's a promise here, though, in this context. Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, this is a promise to Israel, no question. And Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. So you want to make a distinction dispensationally. And Israel is promised the land. We're heavenly people, right? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the principle's the same. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. And where He says, verily thou shalt be fed, it means thou shalt be shepherded. God will Himself provide for your every need as a trusting soul. It's impossible. You trust in the Lord. You're doing His will. Is it possible that God would leave you in the lurch? No, it's not possible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to meet my every need, not just physically or with provision, although He does promise that. Philippians 4:19, He'll meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. But He's going to meet every need. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd as a believer. And you'll be all right. He's going to take care of you. Just trust Him. Just do His will. God will work it out. That's what we're going to see more and more. God is the one who does it, right? And so just do His will. He'll take care of it all. Now, let's go on in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, this is very important. In fact, it's been said that man's chief purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, again, remember, he's in the midst of the persecution, yet he doesn't fail to delight in the Lord. We ought not to let anything break that. And I believe the enemy tries. We had today, it's a small thing, but the power went out in our house. And so you could run around, you know, and get all excited. Wouldn't rob your, get our time of prayer robbed. It didn't get robbed. God wants us to delight in Him. And there's only one who can satisfy man's soul. And that's the Lord Himself. And, you know, today, relationships it's overdone. And I'm not minimizing the importance of a relationship that's of the Lord, but the relationship with the Lord, that's the main thing, isn't it? And to know Him, to love Him, to draw near in fellowship with Him, that's, as Peter put it, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a delight that goes deep down. In fact, where he says he'll give thee the desires, that means in the Hebrew the inmost desires of thine heart. God will satisfy your soul. We have it, don't we? It's just like you're thirsting. You want to, like David, in a dry and thirsty land in Psalm 63, my soul shall be satisfied. And there's nothing in the world, you know, that'll satisfy it. It's a vain, empty thing. But God Himself satisfies that soul that knows Him, that draws near to Him. And He can give that fulfillment. So, now remember what goes before, though. Trusting in the Lord, faithfulness to the Lord is going to bring about a delight to Him. It opens up the door, doesn't it, where He's going to admit us into the intimacy of His presence. And where we can have that. And that's something to seek every morning, isn't it? We've studied this recently in Psalm 119. That's one of the key things that you see the psalmist speaking about in the Word of God, how he delights in the Word and he delights in the Lord as he's in fellowship with Him. So, you know, as Jesus instructed on prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, it starts with God. It doesn't start with, I've got this petition, this one. No, it's a focus upon Him. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. In other words, just enjoy the Lord. Come into His presence. Focus on Him. And that's always a sign of good health spiritually, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't let anything rob that. There's no excuses. David, he's very intense circumstances. Or how about a man like Daniel? He's greatly persecuted. He's not looking at that. He's got his face toward the Lord. And this three times a day. And so it's our place, isn't it? God actually looks for us to delight in Him. God desires to delight in us. And that's an amazing truth. And Proverbs 8:31, His delight is with the sons of men. Speaking of Jesus Christ, wisdom personified. And Zephaniah, He rejoices over us with singing. God actually wants to enter into that with you and I. So it's a feast, right? Which we can have. Every day we need to have that. You have, I trust you had breakfast. And, well, we need the spiritual food, don't we, where you enter into communion with God. And there's a joy in that. And in Psalm, let's go back a couple Psalms here. Chapter 16, for instance, in verse 5. It's good to know that this is our portion. Psalm 16, 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my law. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I should have read verse 8. Psalm 16, 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. But you notice the pleasure, the enjoyment. Or do we enjoy the Lord? And sometimes we can get too uptight, can't we? Again, you can look at the circumstances too much. We heard about Peter yesterday. And you look at the winds and waves that are boisterous, whoosh, you go down. But if there's a focus on the Lord, enjoyment of the Lord, then you'll be buoyed up. Now let's go to a passage with me, if you would. Isaiah 58. You know, there are certain prerequisites to delighting in the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord. There's a single-hearted devotion to Him. I believe it's going to be rewarded with the delight in the Lord. And Isaiah 58, he speaks of it here, addressing Israel. 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, pardon me, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And I realize this is to Israel, and we don't have the Sabbath day applied to us, but the principle, again, is the same. For instance, yesterday we had a conference, and it takes some discipline, doesn't it? You're listening, you're sitting, you're listening to the Word of God. It's very good. And the flesh doesn't like it, you know. But as you're denying the flesh and you're applying yourself to God, then there's delight, isn't there? You're feeding on the Word. And so there's a laying aside, as we've heard a lot about that. You lay aside some things maybe that aren't even sin, but they're things that can get in the way from that focus on the Lord. So, in other words, there's some prerequisites. There's a single-hearted seeking of Him if we're going to have this delight. It needs to be a priority, doesn't it? Where we want to live in His presence. And certainly, we don't want anything to come in between our souls and the Savior. So we're dealing with things, aren't we? That's another benefit of a conference. The Word of God is living and powerful. It will cut away, won't it? And then we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then He admits us into the intimacy of His presence. It's a reward. So delight thyself also in the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 73. Here's a related psalm. Really, it's fellowship with the Lord, as John speaks about. Truly, our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these things unto you that you also may have fellowship with us and that your joy would be full. In Psalm 73, in verse 24, now Asaph, in this psalm, he's envious of the wicked until he considers their latter end. Verse 23, he says, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Verse 28, It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So I believe that's related. He's our portion. He's the one we can draw near to. That's where the delight is found. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's go to another, if you will, Psalm 43:4. In another place, David says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Now, you know the opposite of this. It's where you're in the desert place spiritually and you have the leanness of soul. And God may allow that, by the way, to stir you up to seek Him, to enjoy the Lord, to have a closeness with the Lord. In Psalm 43:4, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." So it's a reality, isn't it, brethren? And it's something we don't want to be satisfied without. And you know that abiding relationship is just that. You're living in His presence. And again, there'll be a continual feast. There'll be the delight in the Lord, an enjoyment of God. And He's the only one who can satisfy your soul. So, you know, the Bible talks about having your soul fat. It's good to have a fat soul. And well, you're well fed and you've been in His presence and you're content. You're satisfied. As with marrow and fatness, as he says in Psalm 63. Because you've been in the presence of the Lord. So, how's your delight in the Lord? It's personal, but you don't want to let anything get in the way of enjoying Him. Now, let's go back to our psalm. Psalm 37, verse 4. "Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord." You have another promise here. "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He'll give you your inmost desires. Let's go to Psalm 145:19. "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Now, let's consider something. With the heart's desire set upon God, one could not desire that which would displease God. In fact, the desires will be elevated to that which God desires, if our delight is in Him. So, for instance, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you." So if you're in fellowship with God, and you're really in walking in line with His Word, are you going to desire something that's contrary to His will? I don't believe so. Because those desires are set upon the Lord, and you're submitting to Him. You realize whatever He wants is the best for you anyway. And so you're not having inordinate type of desires that are outside of His will, but you have godly desires that are led by the Holy Spirit. So if you delight yourself in the Lord, He's going to give you the desires of your heart, and they're going to be elevated desires of a godly soul. So I believe that's the connection here. So when He's our delight, He's going to satisfy the desire of a renewed, sanctified soul. And to know Him, to love Him, to live for Him, now that's a life that's pleasing to Him. That's the thing that satisfies the soul, isn't it? When you know you're pleasing Him. Okay, let's go on. Psalm 37. Now you might say, well, yes, I'm trying to trust in the Lord, and I do want to delight in the Lord, but I've got this difficulty, I've got this circumstance in life, or I have this infirmity, and I have this source of persecution, and this trial, and you can have a long list. Okay, now's the time. Now you bring the list. This is what he's talking about. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Now this is literally in the Hebrew, roll thy way upon the Lord. And it's used of Jesus Christ in Psalm 22:8, where it says he trusted in the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. In fact, they mocked him in that way on the cross, didn't they? Unknowing that they're fulfilling Scripture. And it's spoken of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2, that when he was reviled, reviled not again, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. It's present tense. He kept on handing himself over. You know the situation, Father. You know what I'm going through. You know the agony. You know the suffering wrongfully, but I'm doing your will. And he kept on handing himself over to him that judges righteously. And so it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? You have things in life. You're focused on the Lord. You're trusting the Lord. You're delighting in the Lord. But all the while, you've got some things you're handing over. You can't carry the burdens, you know. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So God didn't mean for us to go around all heavy, broken down. You know that I've got this weight, Lord. And no, He wants to carry it. That's the beauty of it. Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. He's a heavenly Father. And be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you have concerns, maybe causes of anxiety. We're human, right? Roll it over on the Lord. That's the thought. Very consciously, intentionally, roll it over on the Lord. By the way, when you do that, remember what it says in Philippians. With thanksgiving. In other words, you say you have a list that you're bringing to the Lord. Well, don't forget the list of, like Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. It's good to thank Him, isn't it? To praise Him, put it in perspective. But those things that do constrain us to commit, though, get it up there. Let your requests be made known unto God. And let's go to Psalm 55:2. Here's a promise. Psalm 55, in verse 2. That isn't it. 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now this past week, I have to tell you some of the circumstances. Okay, we're coming down to the wire with the building. And it's very interesting how it happened. We had communication with the newspaper that, okay, we're going to have a Bible conference, but the part about we're going to also have a dedication service, but don't put that in yet. We'll confirm that with you. Well, they put it in anyway. And they all make mistakes. We've had that happen so typically. So we're committed, okay? We're going to have a dedication service, whether we're in or whether we're out. Well, so we want to be in here. And And the list is long of the obstacles, but it's pretty disheartening when one day before you're standing there and the fire marshal shaking his head. And if he doesn't pass it, nobody will even come and inspect it. And all it was one button. And it's a matter of interpretation of the law, because the state approved that the fire alarm system we have was adequate, and it had a reset button for each panel, the new panel for here and one for over there. He said, nope, one button. It says one location in the code. He said, well, that means one button. So there you are. So you're stopped, but then it's possible that you could get a partial occupancy permit, which is what we do have right now. And with that permit, you have to have an inspection, though. And the lady called the dispatcher 5 minutes before the deadline. This is on Thursday. Finally, the one guy came at 2. And the deadline's 4. And the other came at 3:30. So 4 o'clock, the deadline, we got in here. But there's a whole lot of committing going on. And then also, whatever your will is, Lord. And now what? We have our will. We want to be in here. Whatever your will is, because God has a purpose in everything. But commit your way into the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. So God, He did that. He brought it to pass. There's no other explanation about that. And there were other obstacles. The one guy that was inspecting, he had a funeral. So there's somebody from Jefferson County that came. And then on and on and on. But it all came to pass. And it's God's will. So we thank the Lord. Now, with the committing, commit thy way unto the Lord, there's a trusting too. Now, it doesn't mean you don't do anything either. Remember the part about trust in the Lord, do good, be faithful. The farmer, he doesn't just sit back. He does plow his field and he does sow his seed, but then he trusts, right? He's waiting. Well, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He'll bring it to pass. There's the faith element involved in this. You can commit without faith. So commit to the Lord. Trust in Him also. Trust that He'll bring it to pass. He is a good God. He does answer prayer. Now, He may test us. There may be the delay. In fact, we see it in the last part of this. Wait patiently for Him. It's going to be in God's time. We want it now. But God has His way. He has His time. So trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. God will work it out. He's a good and all-wise, and He's all-powerful, and He intervenes, and He acts when He wants to act. And He knows what to do. So we want to follow providence, not to force it. Subscribe to infinite wisdom, not prescribe. We're good at that, aren't we? We tell God the way it ought to be. No, we sign up for what He wants, and He'll bring it to pass. But He's not going to leave you in the lurch when you're committing to Him. Now let's go on. Now He goes on to talk about what He'll do here. This especially deals with the immediate context. Verse 6, it says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. In other words, more accurately, God will bring to light your misjudged righteousness like the light. He'll set it forth as the thought, the light of thy righteousness. And apparently David, he's persecuted, he's suffering wrongfully, he's wrongly accused here, and so his righteousness isn't vindicated yet, but he's looking to God to vindicate. Let's go to Jeremiah 5 on this, or 51, verse 10, Jeremiah 51, 10. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare the Zion in Zion the work of the Lord our God. But the Lord, He's the one who'll do that. Just leave it with God. Let's go to Isaiah 58:10. So if you suffer wrongfully, you're persecuted in a wrong way, just commit that to God. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring forth the light of your righteousness. He'll set it forth. Isaiah 58:10. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. In other words, and notice there, light, rise, and obscurity. So God will bring it all to light, like the noonday. He'll show things as they really are. Just commit it to Him, trust in Him, and He'll bring it forth. And thy judgment as the noonday, thy light like the noonday brightness. Okay, let's go back and one more here in Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Now, in many respects, this is the best of all. And what precedes, I believe, comes to this place. You know, this is the result of trusting, delighting, committing, and then there is a resting. Now, the Hebrew literally reads, be silent to the Lord. It's the same as Psalm 62, where he says, wait on the Lord, but the Hebrew is, my soul is silence unto God. And in that same psalm he says, God only is my light, and he is my salvation. Now, the silence here speaks of faith, but it also speaks of acquiescence in God's will. In other words, I'm not all agitated and like a colt, you know, that's kicking against the bridle, but I'm just resting. I'm confiding all to Him and just resting. Whatever He wills, it's good. You know, there is a rest to the people of God. And we're our main problem here, because we can fail to trust and fail to rest in a silent way where we understand. Now, there's some things to understand here. God is absolutely sovereign, and He works all things together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. God is good. And so you want to trust that, right? If you ask a fish, is He going to give you a serpent? If you ask bread, is He going to give you a stone? But our tendency is to doubt, right? And where is God? Well, just rest in the Lord. Just be quiet. Just relax. You know, He's in control. That's what God wants us to do. It is part of faith, but it's also submission. Just like Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There's the faith. Take my yoke upon you. There's the submission, like we sing, trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But there's the will bowing to Him, isn't there, where it's thy will be done, Lord. And when you have that attitude, can you be defeated? You know He's in control. Everything He brings is good. Doesn't matter what it is. You can trust in the Lord. So, now let's compare some passages here. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3, if you would. Now, when he says rest in the Lord, he also says wait patiently for Him. I don't know that we'd have time, but I was going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and you may be familiar. There is a rest that's given to the people of God, and seven times he mentions it in that chapter. Now, there's a rest that you enter into initially in salvation when you trust Christ as your Savior. It's like the burden falls off, and you know you're saved, and you know you have forgiveness of sins, and you're on your way to heaven, and you're in the hands of God. And that, again, that's foundational. And that rest you want to know that you have. But then, if you follow on in that context in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about laboring to enter into the rest. So he definitely is talking to the Christian experientially to know what it is to rest in God. And the key element is faith, right? You're the person who's trusting in Him, there's a rest of soul. Now, let's go to Lamentations chapter 3. This is written by Jeremiah, and you know the circumstances. Jerusalem had been judged. It's described as being like a plate that's turned upside down and wiped clean, and there's just a very small remnant. And so the circumstances are very, very difficult. But notice what he says here, by faith, in Lamentations 3, let's back up to verse 22. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. Now, that's a soul that has grace, right? Regardless of the circumstances. You're just trusting, you're silent, but you also have expectation. So you're resting in the Lord, you're silent to Him. Now you've confided it all to Him, and you're trusting in Him. But now you're waiting quietly, and you're waiting patiently, because you look for God to come through for you. And I'm sure each one here, you have some certain concerns, don't you? When I was on that subject of committing, you've got some areas, right, where you're waiting for God to bring it to pass. Now just quietly wait, just trust in the Lord, and then wait patiently. Have some perseverance in this, because God has His way and He has His time. And you don't want to be surprised when He answers, when He intervenes. You don't want to be like the believers in the early church in Acts 12, and Peter's knocking on the door and they didn't believe it was Him, you know. But wait patiently for Him. Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 13. It's another psalm, a great psalm of faith. Chapter 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, rest in Him, be silent, just patiently wait. So there's a patient bearing of what the Lord has laid upon us, with expectation of what the Lord has further appointed for us. It's making virtue of necessity. Think about that. God's in control anyway. Can you change anything? He can't change anything. So just patiently wait. Wait on the Lord. But remember, He's a good God. He does answer prayer. He does above what we could ask or think. So, well, in conclusion this morning, this is a Godward focus and movement of the heart. It was hard to give a title to this. Every one of these, the trusting, the delighting, the committing, the resting, it's just your heart is toward God. You're not looking so much at what's without. There's an area for that. You're rolling those things over, but your focus is God. Is that our focus this morning? We have concerns. Can't fail to be trusting in the Lord. And He's all sufficient, isn't He? He's not going to let you down. And I didn't say He wouldn't test you, you know. Didn't say there wouldn't maybe be the waiting. But He will come through. So, trust. Now, He mentions that twice. So that's the most important. That's the foundation of it all. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know if you have that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that a settled issue? That's something that you want to come to grips with, where there's no question about it that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not just a profession, but there's a true resting in what Christ did on the cross and nothing else. But then, as a Christian, are we walking by faith? And then enjoying the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord. This is a good test. As Christians, it's a thermometer there for you spiritually. Do you enjoy the Lord? Did you have a time this morning where you could draw near to God and He drew near to you? I see some heads nodding. Is it that which is an ongoing thing where your soul is satisfied? We don't want to be lean, right? You have difficult circumstances, but don't let anything break into that intimacy, the fellowship that you have with Him. And to be honest, this was a struggle this past week with all the hubbub and all the activities. You know, the enemy wants to rob your time, doesn't he? He'd like to get you away from that secret place under the shadow of the Most High. And don't let anything break that, you know, where you're living in His presence. And there's the fullness of joy at His right hand. Do you have burdens? Well, I know you do. Roll it over. And we have been rolling it over upon God, and then putting it into His hands. He's all wise. He's all powerful. He's not going to let you down. And sometimes the tests of life can be very extreme. God's above them, isn't He? And so we want to be in that place of faith where it's kind of like you're looking down on it, because you're in God's presence, who is in control of it all. Commit it over to the Lord. And then just quietly wait. It's a process, isn't it? Then quietly wait for Him. Be silent. Be still. Know that I'm God, He's in control. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for who Thou art this morning. We thank Thee for Thy ways that are always right. They're always good. We thank Thee, Father, that You're on the throne and You're in control. We thank Thee for Thy great love to us. We thank Thee, Father, for Your fatherly care, Your shepherd care for our souls. And You know the needs here. We pray, bless our personal relationship with Thee, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have that constant feast, to be living in Thy presence where there's the fullness of joy. And we pray, too, that You'd take care of the things in life that are concerns for us. We put them into Thy hands, and we ask that You would bring them to pass. And in the meantime, teach us to rest, just to quietly wait, to trust in Thee with all our heart. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.